Hail cheaters. Welcome to the Always Cheating Podcast. It's good to be back. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
It's party time, Josh. Game week 9 has historically been my favorite game week of every fantasy season. So don't ask me why, because I couldn't tell you, but it is. International Blues being what they are, just very excited to look ahead to more Premier League in this episode.
Yeah, I'm excited too. This feels like a real reset. I was saying that, you know, it's just been a weird... Listen, everybody knows it's been weird. Leeds haven't played in a month. It's been kind of a strange stretch. And it felt very good to sit down ahead of this week's pod, put together the running order. And it was just a very kind of classic running order. You know, what do you do if you're on a wild card? What kind of transfers do you want to look at this week? What do the fixtures look like? What are your captain picks for the next several game weeks? Like, just it feels like we're really back where we were. And I, you know, we were off to a great start this season, and you know, I'm really excited to have, you know, kind of a full reset. You and I were just looking before the podcast started. There are six fixture weeks in the month of October. So, you know, for anyone who's felt like they maybe missed out a little bit on fantasy the last few weeks, we'll be back in a big way kicking off this Saturday. I'm very excited about it.
And Patrick Moffat asks, guys, can you explain the time-stretching black hole-like gravitational effects exhibited by international breaks? Now, I think you and I are kind of like, you know, the longer in the tooth we get as fantasy managers, international breaks sort of like do present a moment to unplug. And like, that's, for me, it's a healthy way to be an FPL manager. It's like, as much as I always want to be playing FPL, like, to step away for a few days is okay. Yeah. The question I have for you though, Josh, is if you were in outer space and in your little spaceship, you encountered a black hole, would you be tempted to go in to the black hole? I feel like this is always a plot device in various sci-fi movies. I'm thinking of Interstellar. Doesn't McConaughey go into a black hole at the end of that movie?
Yeah, I think so. Or the corona, at least. I would do almost anything, Brandon, to avoid going into a black hole, to be quite honest with you. I would just like jump out of my spaceship. Like, that's, you know.
You'd rather freeze to death in the expanse of the universe than.
Exactly. That seems way better, honestly, given how it stretches. It could be like what's that, Event Horizon? Is that the movie, Brandon?
It's a hell portal. Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, anything else that we can say about the international break? Well, I mean, the weekends before the international break concludes, it feels like there's still a lot of international matches yet to go.
Yeah. I think that it's not the weekend itself of an international break that gets to me. I think it's still ultimately it's a Saturday and a Sunday. And if you have a Monday through Friday kind of job, it's still the weekend. It's still fun. There's lots of stuff to do. What I don't like is the week leading up to that first week. You know, it's the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of that first international break week where you have nothing to look forward to. This is like people almost always start picking fights in the fantasy sphere. Right, I feel like this is when, like, you know, people, the like stats versus head versus heart kind of stuff starts to really, you know, pop up again. You get into like there's been a lot of kit talk, you know, and so like that, and that stuff can be fun, but at a certain point I'm like, okay, I just want to like actually talk about what I'm going to do to, you know, to climb into the top, you know, 100K this season or whatever. So I thought the first thing we could do to kick things off, because now we're in it, right? If you're listening to this podcast, it's going to be late Sunday or Monday, and it's just like a normal week now. We're right back into it. So I thought I could catch people up a little bit on some of the stuff that was happening. If you just completely checked out on global football over the last week. Here's a couple things, Brendan. I'll do this very quickly, lightning run style, okay?
Go on.
Newcastle has some woes. Isak has withdrew from the Sweden squad with a to-be-determined injury. I think we don't really know. Feels like there's a little more worry about him than some of the other players who have been withdrawn from international breaks. But, you know, I think it's a TBD situation there. But something to be wary of, especially if you're a wild carder who brought him in, which I know was true for a lot of people. Bruno G was also withdrawn from Brazil with a suspected thigh injury. So, Newcastle could be a little bit lighter this weekend. And there was one bright spot, though, which is that Callum Wilson is now expected to be ready to play this weekend. So it's possible that you could actually make a lateral Isak to Callum Wilson move. That's not an insane move, you know, depending on how long
Isak's off. Is there some sort of a cosmic deal that Callum Wilson has now made where in order for him to be fit, somebody else has to become injured?
Yeah. It's like a Dorian Gray situation. Yeah, I'm not sure. Moving on, though, Brandon. We've got Man United players doing well over the national break. Dallo, Brandon, your boy, had a brace.
So hot right now, this guy.
Yeah. I know. I really wish I would have brought him in my wild card. I'm a little sad about that now. Mm-hmm. Bruno, the other Bruno, had a goal and an assist. Jota actually scored in that match for Portugal as well. And Rashford and Sancho both had the international break off. And it looks like now Rashford may be okay for game week 9. That's another TBD situation. But if we see him training this week, then I think if you're on a wild card, he's a player you could really consider. You know, it's kind of unfortunate because the Manchester Derby is this weekend, and so it's maybe not ideal, but you know, you could still start him, or you could just, you know, toss him on your bench. It's not like he's an 11
both player, teams to know. Score in that one, Josh, in the Manchester Derby. So I don't mind having likely. Rashford in that situation.
Yeah, it does seem likely. Mitro scored a hat trick. I had a minor injury worry. It looks like he limped off late, but now it seems like he's going to be okay.
Post-match, Mitro said he was hoping to be fit for the Norway match, which is later this week. So if Mitro's saying that, then certainly returning to the Premier League, he feels like is a foregone conclusion at the weekend.
Yeah, and it's always tricky that first, you know, game week 9, that you get a lot of players. What you often get are players who don't start the match, right? It's mm-hmm. even if they're, you know, if they're not fully healthy or if they traveled a lot, you know, and so that's just something, especially if you're not, you know, if it's your first year playing fantasy, just do not be shocked if a really high level player, you know, a Salah level player does not start this weekend. Salah being the exception because Salah always plays, but you know, it's a, you know, if a Bruno, you know, came off the bench, that wouldn't be shocking this week. Speaking of Salah, he scored a brace.
It would be shocking though with the Manchester Derby. I feel like that's true. The North London and Manchester Derbies. Are almost crucial for those players on those teams where these are the most important matchups for the fans, even though they're coming right out of an international break.
That's true. I guess. Yeah, that's true. But, you know, I guess like maybe Liverpool playing Brighton at home, you know, you could see somebody come off the bench in that one. So then Spurs, Lloris and Ben Davis both withdrew with some minor injury issues. Which I think was a little surprising. I mean, you know, you could say, people talk about like tactical withdrawals, but I don't know that you're going to be seeing as many of those with World Cup players. I think that players who are actually going to the World Cup are not at the moment prioritizing club football over the international break. So if they had to withdraw, that probably means there was at least some real injury, you know, happening there.
Yeah.
Same with Edouard Mendy, still recovering from a knee injury, and he is a doubt this weekend as well. I feel like I should have packed more of the good news in at the start, but it's all bummer injuries. But it's good to know, I think. You know, the final one is Lucas Digne, who is just, you know, the problem child of fantasy. He now has what is suspected to be a stress fracture. So I suspect that he will be out for a stretch of time. And Tropical FPL, just to wrap things up, says, how do you know which international break injuries are real? I sort of got into it just a second ago, talking about how it's, in general, I cast a lot of doubts on international break injuries, but I take them a little more seriously this time just because the players who withdrew are primarily World Cup players. I guess Isak, Sweden isn't going to the World Cup, but otherwise, they are. I'm thinking of Norway. It's kind of a, it's tricky. What do you think? What are your thoughts?
I err on the side of, it's probably not a big deal. I think there are players like Pulisic did not play against Japan for the U.S. But, I mean, he probably should have if he was fit because the U.S. like lacks a great deal of chemistry going forward right now. And you do need that rhythm going into the World Cup. So if you can play, you should. But it's not like Pulisic is going to have to make a case for himself to be in the starting 11 for the U.S. men. So I think there are some players along those lines who might just skip if they have some sort of niggling injury worry. But yeah, generally, international break, if there's an injury, I'm incredibly skeptical of it keeping them out of the Premier League.
Yeah, not great to see Noah Pulisic for the U.S. men's team. And yeah, not great the way they played either in front of them. We try to keep U.S. men's talk out of here because I struggle to be positive. I don't know why it brings out some kind of like talking about the U.S. men's team. It just brings out some like I just want them to be better, you know, and it sort of makes me, you know. But you're a little more positive than I am about the U.S.
men's. The U.S. is more relevant with FPL talk these days, with Brendan Aaronson being a pick, Tyler Adams, being the engine behind Brendan Aaronson at Leeds. Matt Turner had the best U.S. performance in that Japan match, and he's now back up for Arsenal. He's trying even to Pulisic, rest.
Pulisic's only four or five injuries away from being a vital fantasy player as well.
But it's going to be an interesting group. U.S., England, Wales, and Iran. We actually got an interesting email from a friend of ours in Iran. And this is, I think this is bus team news, Josh, where Moeen, who has an actual FPL podcast in Farsi. So if you speak Farsi, there is actual content creation coming out of Iran. And politically, it is kicking off there. I don't know that Josh and I have anything to add to that conversation, but Moeen said, with everything kicking off, internet could be sketchy for Iranians and for Iranian FPL managers. So remember to set those bus teams, my God. And everyone out there, stay safe and stay positive, and we'll hope for the best. So international news all over this podcast today, Josh.
And a bus team, trademark always cheating, is a team that you set, Brian, just in case you get hit by a bus and end up in a short-term coma, and you're not ready.
Or a regime, apparently.
Yeah, exactly. It takes on a slightly more macabre. I guess it's always pretty gallows humor-y, Brandon.
Yes,
very much so. We didn't know that we were coining a permanent term. It was more of a bad joke that you and I used to have on this podcast. But you know what? It took off because it resonates, Brandon. We're all worried about getting hit by buses. So, there you go.
The one thing you did note there, which is interesting to me, and I think we should talk more about, is Mo Salah, because, you know, we're addicted to FPL, but we're also addicted to talking about Salah. We think about him all the time. And that brace that he scored against Niger, they play Liberia, I think, on Tuesday. And I'm one of those people who held on to Mo through game week 8. And I'm thinking very positive thoughts about this man going against Brighton in game week 9.
Yeah. So you and I are in an interesting spot this season. I mean, I think my overall rank is 202K. And aren't you like 196. Like 196. We must be separated by like a single point between us.
Yes, that's right.
I have a wild card team. My wild card in game week 8. You have a team that you still have your wild card available to you. I did leave 1.9 million in the bank so that I could move to Salah fairly quickly. I could do it as soon as this game week, although I don't, to be honest, plan to. I think I'll wait at least one more week to do that. But what are you now thinking about your wild card? I mean, when do you think you might play it? Have you given that any more thought? I mean, you sort of you held off, but is it, you know, are you still kind of saving it for a rainy game week?
At this point, the real problem that I feel like I need to solve is in the midterm is game week 12 and Arsenal and City blanking. And my team is set up with, I'll have six players then, six of my best assets who won't play in game week 12. So I'm still trying to figure out how to best use my wild card to work around that. And I suspect I might just drop Arsenal players going into game week 12 and then wild card in game week 13. Because you look at Arsenal after that blank in 12, they have Southampton, Forest, Chelsea, Wolves, West Ham, Brighton. For a team that's in form, I think that's a decent enough run. The other problem, it's not really a problem, but the other tweak that I want to make for my team, and this would be a reason for me to just play it now, is to get Spurs players and Harry Kane in particular. And it's like one of those, I feel like I have to get Kane sooner rather than later, because all my predictions, which were pretty easy to make with a guy like Kane at the start of the season, that he'd have a really great start to the season, are coming true. And I want to be a part of that. If you look at Spurs after the North London Derby, they've got Brighton, Everton, United, Newcastle, Bournemouth. It's kind of a, I don't know, how do you feel about that fixture run or Spurs in general through the World Cup?
I think it's fine. I think especially from a from an attacking perspective, I think it's fine. I mean, I think the North London Derby could be tricky, especially because they're away. But yeah, I mean, Harry Kane is like a like a Derby specialist practically, right? Mm-hmm. He was just notorious for scoring goals in London Derby. So I think that I feel fine about that one. You know, and I mean, I guess the other one would be Perisic, who, you know, I'm not sure how long he stays on my team for, honestly, just because I feel like I don't like, if I'm going to have a defender who is going to be a rotation risk literally every game week, I want them to cost less than 5 million, you know, and it's a little too much. And so he may move as soon as this game week. I may move him for someone like Reece James.
Salah, you know, is really the key to my wild card thoughts. And it's like unsolvable, right? Like, this seems like a good time to get off of Liverpool players because they'll have Arsenal and Man City in game weeks 10 and 11. Pretty difficult.
Yeah.
But then they do play. Like, they're one of the top four teams that will play in game week 12, and they host West Ham at home. And it would be great to still have Liverpool players there.
I am certainly going to have Salah for game week 12. I mean, I think you're in an interesting spot. I mean, I guess, you know, it's almost like you should just, I mean, you could plan ahead and try to identify a week, you know, game week 13 or something like that, where it makes sense to do it. But, you know, and I guess I'll just pull up a question here because I do want to talk about wild cards a little bit later. But I don't want to do that thing where we start having a conversation and then I just like put a stop to it because it's in the running order for later. But FPL Brooklyn said, if your team looks good for game week 9, is it worth it to hold the wild card? And I think, you know, it is worth it. And I think that in general, maybe you just never wildcard, right? Maybe you end up wildcarding in game week 16 and treat it like a free hit, right?
Free hit.
Because if every single time, and this isn't going to happen because you're going to get a couple of injuries or there's going to be some, you know, bad game week, or as you said, you know, game week 12 sets up very tricky if you've got a lot of Man City and Arsenal players. Like, there will come a time when you look at your team and be like, okay, now I need to do it. But I feel like every week that you look at your, you know, your bus team for the following week and it looks good, don't wildcard. There's just the, you know, to me, it's just, picking up a little bit of team value to me is just not worth it, you know? And the only time I would look at my team and think I might still, and like it and think I might still wildcard is if I thought there was going to be heavy, heavy rotation for that week. And this is actually why I don't like to wildcard into an international break, because I think that first fixture out of it, I mean, people often talk about how, you know, the first game week after a wild card can often be tricky for your team. But part of that is because we often wild card international breaks. And that first week is just when you see a lot of rotation or you see a lot of teams that are rusty. I think it's especially true in game week 9 because you have a couple of clubs. I keep talking about Leeds, but it's just because they don't have any European matches, whereas some of these other, it doesn't feel like Man United or Arsenal haven't played in so long, right? Because they had a couple of European commitments. But, you know, Leeds will not have played for a month, you know?
And I think Palace is in that same situation.
Palace, yeah. Uh-huh. Palace, yeah, exactly. So it's really hard to evaluate some of these teams. And so it's hard to, you know, like, so Palace play Chelsea. They host Chelsea in game week 9. Palace were off to a great start, but does form from, you know, like the first day of September carry over to the first month of October when you haven't played in a month? Like, you know, it's a long time, you know, between matches. Yeah. And so to me, that adds a little bit of anxiety to any you know team that I'd put together on a wild card. Honestly, I feel the same way about transfers. I'm kind of inclined to hold my transfer this week because I just don't. I feel like I don't have enough information necessarily to make a great decision unless I'm replacing an injured player. But to bring it back to Salah, I mean, I think you just have to hold him. I mean, you wouldn't at this point. Are you kind of like me? I'm in perma captain Haaland mode. I mean, would you consider captaining Salah for this Brighton match?
There's a temptation to Captain Sala to be different, but it does just fly in the face of everything we know now. Like, yeah. Sala's having a decent international break so far, but that's just different. Like his role with Egypt, it's just like, it's a different situation than Liverpool entirely. So I just think you're overthinking it to try and be different. And it's going to be a blast, I think, to watch Haaland go against Manchester United in his first Manchester derby. He's going to be entirely motivated. He's just going to want to do the business. And I want a part of that. I want to be a part of it, Joshua.
That's going to be a super fun match. That is going to be, it's going to be a fun
3-3-3 or something like that. Yeah.
It's going to be a fun match. He is probably the premier captain pick this week. And think about how completely unfun it would be to go to the Manchester derby, spending the entire game like terrified every time that Haaland, you know, is. And again, I'm not a big fan of fear-based managing, but I think in this case, when the match is this sort of enticing, just let yourself enjoy it, you know, just prioritize fun a little bit, because he's also probably the best captain pick. And, you know, unless you're like a hyper contrarian. And also, I'm not like, there's this idea, I guess, that Graham Potter has left Brighton and Brighton are going to like forget how to defend or something like that. And I just, I'm not, you know, totally convinced about that. I mean, I think that, you know, that same squad is still there, and it's a tight group, right? I mean, the defense has played together, you know, it's fairly cohesive at this point. And I don't see that being a match that Liverpool are going to score like a Bournemouth number on. Right. I mean, that could be like a 2-0, 3-0 match, 2-1, 3-1, maybe. I mean, like, I don't know why I'm giving Liverpool a clean sheet. I'm not really seeing that in the cards right now.
Yeah. Or the win for that matter. The way they've been going recently. You know, I'm having this thought about wild card where I think traditionally, to play your wild card, the first reason you do it, especially early in the season, is because you just got your team selection woefully wrong at the start of the season. The other reason you'd play it is you need to just overhaul your team structure. Like, I need three strikers up front or more than one. And that's often a raft of injuries. Looking at the fixture outlay, so after game week 16, you go into the World Cup phase, and then everyone has essentially unlimited transfers. So you need to, if you're going to play the wild card, your first wild card, before or by game week 16. And suddenly I'm like, do I have to treat the wild card almost as a free hit insofar as it's not traditionally this grand restructural sort of chip that you play, but more just a strategic advantage that you can have over the course of 1 or 2 weeks just to edge 10, 15, 20 points over your competitors. So I think that's where I'm still kind of focused on what I can do with game week 12, because I think a lot of managers are just going to scramble or try to just eke through that blank with City and Arsenal. And there, that seems like an opportunity to gain, you know, marginal 10 or 15 points on everybody on the field.
Yeah. And I guess that's like a perfectly good place. I'm sure there's a lot of people listening who are in the same spot as you. And I feel like if it's perfectly fine to just have in your back pocket a potential route for using it. Right. You know, and then, you know, it doesn't mean you have to do it that way. You have to lock yourself into it by any means, you know, but yeah. All right. Well, that's, I think that was an unexpectedly thorough discussion, Brandon, it wasn't even in the running order. That's bonus content for everyone.
Just making it up as we go here.
All right, Brandon, I want to briefly talk about Patreon here, because we have a new promotion that we're doing, a pre-World Cup promotion, a way to get people excited about the World Cup, a way to get people excited about fantasy again, right? After a kind of a chaotic September. So in the month of October, the high score in the month of October is going to get a World Soccer Shop gift certificate. Actually, we'll just pay for it. Whatever you want to do. Let's figure this out. But you go to World Soccer Shop, you pick out the kit of your choice, right? So if you're by the way, Brandon, I found out as we were talking, I had to double check this. Sweden is not in the 2022 World Cup. So it's
our condolences, Swedes out there.
Yeah, tough World Cup for Northern Europe. But you can pick out the kit of your choice. You could still get a Haaland kit if you want, Brandon. Pick out a kit of your choice if you're the high scorer this month, and we will pay for it. So there's 6 game weeks in the month of October. We're only going to count the points that you score in that month. So you can become a new Patreon supporter as long as you join, let's say, by the middle of the month, right? We don't want anyone jumping in too late, but join by October 15th join our mini league. And the high score for the month of October will get it. Get any amount of money. I really don't care. I mean, you know, as long as it's under what, like, you know.
Be reasonable, everybody.
Yeah, any amount of money, I really don't care. On second thought, I do care, and it better be under what?
Back it up.
What does a kit cost? Like under $200, let's say. You know?
How's yeah, sure. I'm so sure. Cheap. We'll work it out with the winner. And I think this is like a supersized version of what we typically do with our Patreon supporters. Each month we have our Dean's list. Manager yep. of the month. Yep. September, you were saying like Eric Ten Hag up for manager of the month, managed one match in incredible. The month of September. But he did pound Arsenal to the ground. So good for you, Eric Ten Hag. But our Dean's List Manager of the Month on our Patreon for September was Mark Bowen. Congrats, Mark. We'll be in touch with the details there. And prizes abound. So if you want to hear more about our Patreon, go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. It's a good way to say thanks to me and Josh for what we do each week and get more FPL content in return, much like our second podcast each week that we'll be doing Thursday night, getting into more detail about what our plans specifically are for this game week 9 deadline. And speaking of game week 9, Josh, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and jump into the fixtures, the transfers, and all the narratives coming up for this weekend. UEFA Champions League football is streaming on Paramount Plus. 9 months of heart-stopping, hold-your-breath exhilaration is underway with the biggest stars, top teams, and wildest fan bases across Europe. Watch every match from the group stage through the knockout rounds as Benzema and Real Madrid defend their title against Liverpool, Man City, Chelsea, PSG, Barcelona, and more in football's biggest club competition. So don't miss a single sweat-soaked second of regulation time, stoppage time, and extra time, and stream every match of the UEFA Champions League live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
All right, Barry, we're back. This week's pod, we're looking ahead. We're answering some post-international break questions. Kind of interesting, Brent. It's, you know, it's the first international break of the season, the only one that we have before the World Cup. So, you know, it's a little kind of, it feels fresh to think about this stuff. And there's some questions about wild cards in here, questions about strategy over the next few weeks, some of which we got into in the intro. But I do want to talk a little bit about what I would do if I were on a wild card right now. And Stephen Curtis asked, you know, wild card and game week 9 strategy. I think you talked earlier about Liverpool and what to do there. I mean, did you hold on to Trent or did you drop him? I can't remember now.
I dropped Trent. I still have Luis Diaz and Mo. Right. And right. I think okay. So the temptation for me going into game week 8 was Newcastle and Trippier. And I think what we've seen so far is Trippier is going to match Trent point for point at a cheaper price point. I mean, Liverpool are going to have to get a lot better, which they can easily do. They can frankly do it overnight if something is tweaked or people's attitudes get straight or whatever, something is fixed. And then suddenly it's a different story and I want Trent back immediately, such as it is. Trent seemed like the most obvious one to drop because, you know, we can talk about midfield options, like getting rid of Luis Diaz. I was like, where does this get me? Who am I bringing in for him? Better? So there's something, I don't know if you're going to talk about this with your Liverpool thoughts, but the appealing thing and the like the highest potential right now with Liverpool seems to be if they can get their attack straightened out.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the Trent situation is going to resolve itself positively ultimately, right? Like it would not surprise me at all if Trent ended up being the high scoring defender for the season. Right. Mm-hmm. But to me, I think it's totally reasonable on a wild card or in the case of your transfer, I dropped him as well on a wild card to just punt on that defense right now. It doesn't seem settled. There's just something not working back there, you know, and it was like Van Dijk came out in the international break and admitted that he hasn't been the best. And, you know, it's like it's all good to say this kind of stuff. But to me, admitting that stuff doesn't often translate into result, you know, and any kind of real change. Anyway, you know, it's like it was funny because when he did that, I was like immediately thought of the I think you should leave. Like he admit it, like you know.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
But Van Dijk is great, but he hasn't been the best start, but it's true of the entire defense. I mean Trent defensively, I feel like has been really one of the biggest culprits.
Yeah.
I think the question that I would say the biggest question that I would have on a wild card is it comes back to Spurs and it's whether I would definitely have three forwards on a wild card. And I think that you could do different combinations. You could do 4-3-3 or 3-4-3. I don't know that I'd go 5-2-3, but I guess that is at least in theory an option you could consider as well.
It's too weird.
Yeah. I think the question I would have and the Son hat trick, I think makes things very interesting because I think suddenly,
and you didn't mention his beautiful free kick for South Korea in the international break rundown, which was sublime.
Yeah. I saw that clip. It was unblockable. It was really a postage stamp, Ren. Is that what they called it?
Yeah. Top bins.
Yeah. And that's why I always go top bins personally. And so it was nice to see him kind of emulate me.
You saw that Son free kick and you're like, stole my move.
So I feel like the question I would have is, I think I would definitely have Mitro. Obviously Holland you would have as well. But there are a lot of third forward picks that are worth considering on a wild card outside of just Harry Kane, right? You've got, you have Ivan Toney. You have Dominic Solanke, who, sure, like not necessarily like a player that we're all like, you know, pining for, but sub 6 million, certainly you don't have to start him every week. And especially with a player like Pereira, who is startable in a lot of cases. And Bournemouth have this really great run of fixtures, ahead. And it seems like they've honestly played a little better than we've probably given them credit for to start the season. I mean, that 9-0 is just so hard to wipe from your brain, you know, but if you can wipe that away, they've actually racked up a couple of wins and, you know, they're okay. They're like, you know, they've had an okay start to the season. I still think they're probably likely to go down, but you have, I don't know. Bamford looks like he is finally back and healthy. The point is you have a lot of options up front. And so if you were to have a player like Son, it would give you the option to have three different forwards, right? In my case, if I were wild carding, I would probably go. I guess that's probably like the boring answer, but I think I would go Toney, Holland, Mitro, or I would go Mitro, Holland, Kane. And what you decide to do between those two, I think, is an interesting question. And I guess the question then is, you know, because they're roughly the same price. Kane is 11.4 million, Son is 11.7. And the question is, can you find somebody in that 5 to 7 million range as a midfielder who you trust, who you think could approximate as many points as you can get from a forward? And last season you could, and this year I think it's very tricky. And you know, if you think that Zaha can do it, then I probably would go with Kane. You know, if you think that I don't know about you, Jared Bowen and James Madison. I don't want either one. I'm just not, I'm not feeling there it. I'm not feeling their squads.
Yep. I think that is true for Jared Bowen because the squad West Ham looks bad and Bowen also looks poor. The thing about James Madison is he has looked incredible. Despite Leicester being the worst team in the division. I don't see that story changing for Leicester all that much. But, like, that's fine for James Madison. I think he's now grown into this talismanic role there beyond Jamie Vardy, interestingly enough. So I like the Madison pick. But
really?
So
if you were in a wild card, do you think you'd have Madison?
Well, let's look at like Leicester's fixture. So Leicester are in an insane tailspin right now. But right out of the gate, you wild card in game week 9, 100% I'd have James Madison because they play the leakiest defense in the league with Nottingham Forest or right up there with Leicester, followed by Bournemouth. So I think though
he can't play himself, right?
And it's just like he's the sort of pick like, yeah, like I don't trust this Leicester team at all. And Madison, in his career in the Premier League has been streaky, and when his form finally shuts off, you don't see it again for another month. But he, at his price point, given the like team structure you're talking about, I think he's easily worth a punt. And if it comes off, then you've got a great team around James Madison, a great FPL squad around James Madison plus Madison. Yeah. So that's my case for him.
Yeah, I mean, you're right that it's hard to get better than Forest and Bournemouth back to back. Throw in Palace and Leeds home the next 2 weeks as well. I just don't trust that team at all. I don't really trust Madison either. I mean, you said he's streaky, and it's fun when you can get there at the right time, but then you also get these runs where he just, he's so anonymous, and so I don't know. I feel like. Anyway, I feel like that's the big question that I would focus on if I were in a wild card is do I prioritize Son or Kane? And I think for me, I suppose I would still lean towards Kane just because Kane just plays 90 minutes kind of no matter what, whereas we've already seen Son come up the bench in a Premier League fixture. Kane just seems much more locked in. He's they both have the World Cup to plan for, but I feel like Kane is maybe a little more I don't know. Kane just seems really up for it this season in a way that you talked about this at the start of the pod, and I'm kind of with you there.
Yeah, and he's scoring every type of goal, and he's just scoring goals just being open at the back post versus, I'm going to do some superstar thing. Yeah. He's just playing smart. He's playing smarter, Josh, not harder. Though the thing, it is a very negative, pessimistic way of looking at the Son thing of like, okay, he did score this insane hat trick against Leicester. Leicester, we were just talking about how poor they are, about how poor Danny Ward is. I mean, sure, he's replicating that hat trick form for South Korea, but I don't know. How do you approach that? Like a player comes out of their shell to have an incredible performance, strangely, against the worst team. Do we have to consider that?
I don't know what to think about it. I mean, when he scored that for the first goal, right? Like, it was like you could tell it was weighing on him, right? Because it was like he did this thing where he like paused and held the stance or whatever, right? And so it's like, I guess maybe it did like take the weight off his shoulders a little bit.
Sure.
It was easier when he was 9.5 and Kane was 11.5. Now that they're like exactly the same price, I guess I'm just more inclined to go with Kane just because, I just think Kane's going to score more goals. And, and I know it's like 4 points versus 5 points or whatever, but like, I just, if Kane's going to play more minutes, I think he's going to score more goals. I mean, you also get more bonus points for a forward goal, right? So he's more slightly more likely to get bonus points, especially if you can pair it with an assist or something like that. So I just think like what Son does that made him so great in fantasy isn't quite as essential anymore for this kind of remade Spurs team. Because you've got Perisic on the left now. You have Richarlison who can sort of play or sub in for Son if Son's not in form. Whereas Kane is just... essential, right? He's just always going to he is the center of that attack, and we kind of forget, I think, that Kane is he's like I don't want to say he's past his prime, but like 3 years ago he was an utter fantasy legend, right? He was like the Erling Haaland of the late 2015s,
right.
It was like he was scoring 20 plus goals and just like a perma captain at times. And so, if he can even get close to that again, then he's, I think the easier pick over Son.
Spurs do scare me because I don't think I'm going to have any Spurs players until I wild card. So I'm kind of scared there not having anybody.
I think
Jesus is the guy that you didn't mention in your striker lineup who I would definitely not have on a wild card. You know, we talked about the game week 12 blank.
And, one away from a one game suspension too, one yellow card away from a suspension.
Yeah, the yellow card things there too. And his price has remained fixed through price rises and then drops. So it's not like you're going to lose money by selling him. So whether it's on wild card or a free transfer you're looking at, Jesus is an easy sell right now. And I think that's my Kane slot, depending on how Salah looks here in game week 9.
Yeah, the thing is, you probably just have to keep Salah now, right? Because of that game week 12.
I know. It's like, it's true.
So I feel like you'd be more likely looking at, I mean, you don't have Mitro yet, do you? I mean,
I do have Mitrovic. Yes, I do.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah. So to get Jesus to Kane, I have to get rid of Cancelo, which, you know, game week 12 blank. Okay.
Yep.
There's money there. So ultimately, that's what I'm going to try and drive my transfer policy toward game week 12. Slowly shedding Jesus and Cancelo to get Kane up top and some other defender that doesn't blank in 12.
I'm just looking at some of the squads that have, look at the old fixture difficulty ratings, Brandon, you know, sorting those, looking at the blue and the red. Is that like some, is that Stendhal? I think that Brentford are a team that you could still absolutely look at as a Jesus alternative. I think that, you know, I mean, I'm not sure you need to do it instantly. Like I would keep him for the North London Derby, but, Brentford play Bournemouth, Newcastle, Brighton in the next three, you know, it's a very solid run for them. And I think you could certainly go, if you had an Isak situation to solve, Isak to Tony, I think makes a lot of sense for game week 9. I think that Brentford-Bournemouth match could be pretty high scoring. I think that Fulham, you know, just to go back to the original question about a wild card, I think that Fulham have a great run of fixtures. And I'm actually planning to start two Fulham players in game week 9 when they play Newcastle at home. But Pereira and Mitro. I mean, it's not like I'm buying players, but I mean, I think Pereira could do something in that match, and you know, so I'm.
Well, I guess I'm not shocked at your confidence at Fulham. I'm shocked at how dismissive you are of Newcastle.
I like Trippier as a FPL asset, but I mean, until they sack Eddie Howe, five draws in a row, like they're not doing anything. I mean, you know, and if they're not going to have Bruno Guimaraes and, you know, they once they bring in like a quality, like they're going to bring in some dude soon, right? Who's like actually won something, and no offense to Eddie Howe, but like, you know, it's just like, they're going to bring in someone better, you know, let's just be honest. And then once they do, they're going to be really dangerous. But, you know, until then, I think that you can, I at the very least think you can target their defense. I'm not like super enamored with that defense.
The Bruno injury, I think, is a compelling thing to mention there, because that's like, that was their transformative signing, I think, just in terms of the spine of the team last season, and he's integral to them. Kind of being that tight shop that when Eddie Howe is at his best, I'll defend Eddie Howe a little bit. He's doing a fine job. I think Bruno is the key there.
Just thinking about what else I would do on a wild card. I think that.
Who would be your keeper?
Oh, that's actually a really tricky question. Because I brought in, I brought in David Raya, and I now look at me instantly like regretting doing that. And I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, the one I would actually probably consider would be Emi Martinez. And just because he's down to 4.9 million and, you know, he's really, really excited about the World Cup in Argentina. And, I think
just
that
thrusting his pelvis here, there, and everywhere.
Yeah. If I did that, I would make sure to have Olsen as well, because I think there's at least a chance that you get a little bit of Emi Martinez rest. But I don't know. Villa have a really nice run of fixtures. I could see some clean. Their defense is actually full of some quality players as well now. And, you know, I think that, I don't know. I think like he's cheap enough now that you could toss him in, and he's worth maybe paying the extra 0.4 million over some of the 4.5 options. I think that Sanchez is just, even though I don't think that Brighton are going to completely fall apart, I think that there's enough uncertainty there with the managerial switch that I'd probably avoid having him or any other defenders at the moment. Although they do have a great game week 12 fixture. So, if you're really focused on that, that is something you could keep in mind.
I would trust Brighton, even with the managerial switch, more than Aston Villa, who, Emi Martinez, I don't hate that pick. I mean, he's gotten save points in, four out of seven matches here. He's got a double-digit return against Palace. That's fine. But Brighton, even with a new manager, I think are far more stable than Stevie G's squad.
Yeah, it's just hard to find. I mean, I think Sanchez is fine, like a totally reasonable pick, but they don't have a great run of fixtures, And I think that's and again, part of it is we're just not looking. Often when you wildcard the first half of the season, you're looking at the next 25 weeks, right? You might not wildcard again until game week 30, but in this case, you really only have to look 8 weeks ahead, right? Because we're all going to get to reset when you have a limited transfers during the World Cup. So I think that's ultimately why I went with Raya on my wildcard, was I just liked his short-term fixtures a little more. But my heart wanted Emi Martinez, Brandon, and I regret it. Also, they outscored him by 5 points in game week 8. So really did miss out there. All right, let's go on to the next question. And we talked about this a little bit already. It's from Boston Prof. He says, what's your captain strategy over the next 4 weeks? And which premiums will you rotate to execute on it? So captains the next 4 weeks, Brandon.
Okay. Yeah, I suppose we talked about Haaland. We made our case for Haaland in the Manchester Derby this weekend. I feel like it's a pretty straightforward decision. I mean, it's who do Spurs have this week? Spurs, North London Derby. Yeah. I mean, but the ceiling just feels a little lower for Kane in that fixture, and he's away from home, while City do play at the Etihad, and Haaland is just kind of great. All right, so then game week 10, any other case that you would make in game week 9?
Definitely not. No. 100% Haaland. Yep.
Yeah. And then Haaland hosts Southampton, which I can't think about.
Let's not even talk about it.
Not giggle a little bit. Okay. Yeah. Right, I guess I can see where this is leading. The captain strategy is Captain Haaland every week. Game week 11, though, City away Liverpool. If Liverpool are still playing, the poorest defense that they have been, why not Haaland again? But you do have some, let's see, what are your other options there? Yeah, Manchester United going against your favorite whipping boys, Newcastle.
Spurs host Everton in game week 11, so you could make a case for Kane there. I think I would probably still captain Haaland, honestly, even playing Liverpool. I mean, he would just need to see the Liverpool defense play better over the next 2 weeks before I would consider that a difficult fixture. I mean, my feeling about Man City is they just really rarely have a difficult fixture, outside of every time they play Crystal Palace for reasons that no one quite understands. But even then, he got a hat trick in the second half, Haaland. So I think I would still likely go with Haaland, even though I plan to have Kane for game week 11. And I think for game week 12 is the one where I have KDB at the moment. My personal plan is to, we're Man City and Arsenal, that match is blanked. Because the Carabao Cup is more important than the Premier League in the eyes of some.
Always.
Brandon.
But that's, the Carabao that's, Cup.
Yeah, exactly. So I think in that case, my plan is to go from KDB to Salah. I'm going to hold KDB for the next 3 weeks. That's the plan, at least right now. And then for game week 12, I move KDB to Salah and Captain Salah. I think the Spurs play Man United away, so not a great alternative option there. Not terrible, but not. I not ideal. I'm not sure there's any other great. I mean, you could consider Mitro.
You've got to consider Mitrovic a little bit. I mean, I do think Mitrovic is very much a hipster pick for captaincy. He's a no brainer in terms of getting him into your fantasy squad. I mean, the guy has six goals already through having played seven matches. So that's great. But it's there's risk baked into a captaincy, I think.
All right, let's move on to, I think we just like nailed that, Brandon. You know, that's really
easy. Easy game.
Let's move on. Yeah. And FPL, and oh, we actually answered this earlier about if your team looks good in Game Week 9, is it worth it to hold the wild card? I think yes. Yeah. Jamie asked, how big of an advantage do those wild carding this week have over those of us who wild carded last week, consider the injuries to Dean, Mitro, and Isak? What do you think about that question?
I don't think there's a huge advantage. As we mentioned with Mitro, we're kind of expecting him, given what we know here on Sunday, September 25th, that he'll be back for Game Week 9.
Yep.
And then, I mean, Dean, who are these crazy people who brought in Lucas Dean on their wild card?
I considered it. I did consider it. I'm glad I didn't. But he did get a clean sheet last week.
It's been a rough year or two for Lucas Dean and fantasy managers. And then Isak, I think you ran through great options where, you know, there's no disadvantage to have brought Isak in on a wild card because you already got points off of him. So that's great. Now you can take him and run if he doesn't play in Game Week 9. And there are lots of great options to swap him to. So you're not at a disadvantage. I still think the strategy that we kind of ran through hasn't changed too much since Game Week 8.
Yeah. Also, what are you going to do about it? You know, so it's like just, you know, just mentally, it's like it's already done. That's where I am. It's like I already wildcarded. Yeah. They have an advantage and possibly, I mean, anytime you've got a wild card and the other person doesn't, you've got a little bit of an advantage, right? It's like you're sort of, you know, it's going into that particular week.
It's what gives the U.S. its power, like our nuclear, it's like having a nuclear armament or something like that, however you say that. You know, yeah. I've got the warheads and you don't.
Yeah, I think that was a little George W. Bush. Newton. You wanted to say nuclear, didn't you?
I know. I struggle with that one.
Final question here about the post-international break fixtures. This comes from Jeff Y. Says, it's a good idea. By the way, I haven't heard from him in a long time. Remember Jeff Y. of Schmaa Brennan? He used to be a long-time question asker of the podcast.
I know. I do remember. Yeah. Hey, Jeff, how you doing? Good to hear from you.
I know. Yeah. Says, is it a good idea to minimize exposure to players from teams who have midweek European exploits and identify non-top six or seven, if you want to include West Ham, that have nice fixtures instead? So it's a good question. And, you know, there's a lot of European matches coming up over the next few weeks. And we talked about all the Premier League matches, but, you know, basically like for some of these top clubs, it's, twice a week until November, they're going to have, you know, games. What do you think about that? Do you think it's worth targeting some non-top six clubs?
Well, I think West Ham, we talked about Jared Bowen and West Ham a moment ago, and this was a huge concern for anyone who was thinking of bringing Bowen in the Europa League is just a strange little competition. West Ham ended up traveling, and it's strange in that they play Thursday night. So there's just like this added layer of complexity going into the weekend, where if you're in the Champions League, you could be playing Tuesday and you've got plenty of time to rest and prepare for the weekend, you know, so relatively speaking. So as I understand it, West Ham went to Denmark last Thursday for the Europa League and weren't able to leave Denmark until Friday evening. And I feel like Thursday nights in Europe has been a curse for many, many years.
I would
always shy away from picks like mid-range picks who play in the Europa League. Champions League, I'm not bothered by that. Like you can't.
Yeah.
You said earlier, Josh, you're managing from a place of fear can often like not put you in a good spot. And to think like, particularly with teams like City, like, well, De Bruyne is going to start midweek, is what's he going to do in the weekend? And I think at some point you just have to write that off and say, well, I'm going to have the good players. The good players are good. And if they don't play, they'll make it up for me next week.
I think I'm with you, Brandon. You know, you can spend too much time worrying about this stuff and whether, you know, someone's going to miss a match. This happens every like, you know, festive fixtures. This is stress about whether so-and-so is going to play or get rested or, you know, players on four yellow cards. Is he going to get, you know, are they going to keep him on the bench to keep him safe or whatever? I think the only twist I would add, and maybe this is just something that even whether or not you're worried about this or not, it's just something to think about, is if you're on a wild card right now, I would try to have at least a couple of players that had decent fixtures in game week 12. That way, you're probably going to have three players on your bench in game week 12 because you're not going to want to drop all of your Arsenal and Man City players. So that just might be a nice way for you to pick up a few extra points in some of your rivals. So you have some players with decent fixtures in game week 12 because it has you just a little more set up.
Right. Yeah. All right. So I think we're pretty well set for like every way you could look at game week 9, but there's more, Josh. It's like we've got a little lightning round set up here.
A little bit of bonus content for you, Brandon. This is a lightning round. We have some player questions. Okay. As everyone knows, lightning round is 30-second answer or less. I'll kick things off, Brandon. How about we'll go back and forth. There's four questions. So you ask one, then I'll ask one, and we'll go back and forth. Dan Barnes says, how viable do you think Solanke is as an ESAC replacement for the next few versus, say, Tony? Says, Solanke enables an eventual pivot to Salah and Trent for their good run, but Tony seems like the better choice in terms of points potential.
Yeah. I personally lean toward Tony and would just kind of go for the better player. And then when it comes to that eventual Salah move, you'll just find another way. Like there's always another way, isn't there, Josh?
Yeah, or just bring in Solanke later. You know, like don't do it right off the bat, and just don't keep that money in your bank. Just if it's an eventual pivot to Salah, then just have the better player for the next couple of weeks and then
move Tony to Solanke. Yeah, I get that. Yeah. I get that. All right. Yes. That's a good answer. All right. Next question comes from FPL Composer. How important is owning James Madison? Josh, on a scale of 1 to 10, what are you thinking?
Zero. I get that the fixtures are good. I'm just going to die in this hill, Brad, which is that you don't need James Madison. That team stinks. The energy around it is terrible. And I say this as somebody who, I've said this many, many times, the King Power is the best stadium experience I've had in the UK. Okay. I loved going there. Absolutely loved it. It wasn't necessarily the most intense, but it was the most fun. Like it was just a very fun place to be. I really came away just in love with Leicester. It just seemed like a great place, but the negativity around that club, as all Leicester supporters will say, is it's not great right now. They have some, I was talking about this, with FPL in Uganda and some other people this weekend, and they had some financial fair play issues that were apparently was part of the part of the situation right now with Rodgers and with some of their summer signings. So, it feels
they
like
they just couldn't spend any money.
Yeah, and so it feels like this year is like a write-off for them, right? It's like stay in the Premier League, reset, start again next year. But I just don't really want fantasy players in that kind of situation. I don't think that's – at the very least, it means things are going to be inconsistent. You know, I don't see them like crushing teams, two or three matches in a row.
I do think the word here from Composer, how important is it? I don't think it's important to have Madison, but I think it – I'm more bullish, as discussed, Josh. I would put him like a round of five, where it's there's a razor's edge with Madison. It could help you, but I don't think it's going to hurt you to not have him.
Yeah, I mean, I think that he could go off. He's had some like double digit. He had like a great, was it last year? He had some great run of like multiple double digit returns, and then of course by the time we all got him, maybe he's like a bogey player for me, Brandon, which is that I never quite believe in him until it's like you and Reece James. It's like it's like a bunch of nice matches and then you finally buy in, and that's when everything changes, and so that's how Madison has always been for me. All right. So next question for FPL Zahi says, chances of Fofana starting in the Graham Potter's Chelsea squad?
Well, I mean, Potter, he typically plays a back four at Brighton. So
he played a three, didn't he? I feel like he did a three.
You got Burn Webster and Dunk in a three. You might be right.
Well, and then you'd have the Dutchman, whose name I'm just forgetting right now for some
Veltman.
Reason. Veltman would often play in a back three as well. So,
I'll be honest here, Josh. I have no idea. I am okay. This is like a Leicester hate fest on this episode. I've not rated Fofana that highly. I think he's overrated. They paid too much for him. Odd signing for Chelsea in my estimation. I mean, I get that Chelsea has got aging center backs and they need to bring in some fresh blood, and it'll be a great place for Fofana to be, and he'll be, tutored by some great center backs in Koulibaly and Silva. And so, you know, maybe he will improve. I don't know. If I'm Graham Potter, I'm a little skeptical. Yeah.
They spent so much money on him. You know, I feel like that alone means he's gonna get some starts, you know.
So yeah, we talked about this with you know, Richarlison. Like, well, you were suggesting, well, you don't pay $80 million or whatever they paid for Richarlison and put him on the bench. Well, that, guess what they've been doing? They put him on the bench, and
he's been starting more recently, though.
All funny money to these clubs. The money doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's just kind of the new range.
I'm kind of with you, which is that it's a boring answer, because I guess maybe I shouldn't put it on the running order, Brandon, if neither of us know how to answer this question. But but he's a hard one to evaluate, right? Because he looked really good 2 years ago, remember? And it was like he was great, cheap. And remember, there's all the Ramadan stuff, remember, where it was like, oh, is he gonna play late enough to, you know, but anyway, and then last year, we all came with a very favorable impression of him 2 years ago, and then last year everyone was very excited to have him in their fantasy teams, and he got injured right before the season started, missed almost the entire year, and now he's played for did even get a start for Leicester. I mean, there was basically like once he was negotiating that move to Chelsea, they stopped playing him. And so it's, you know, it's just really hard to have a sense of what we're going to get from him.
He did play 90 the first two matches for Leicester. And now he's, then he missed three matches during the transfer saga, as you suggest, and then played 90 for Chelsea against West Ham, a match in which they let in just one goal and they won. So, you know, off to a decent enough start. I guess like the positive case I could mount for Fofana is he's still priced at 4.4. I don't see Chelsea, even though they're top four contenders, as a team where I'm going to be dying to be tripled up. So just grabbing Fofana at that price tag and dropping him on your bench, you just kind of, and you don't have to really worry about playing him, I suppose, unless it's a really enticing match. So it's, you know, I think he's a good pickup for fantasy, especially if you're on wild card. But I wouldn't waste too much time thinking about how often you should play him. I don't think he's going to offer much attacking threat.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, I think if you can get into a Chelsea team for that cheap, I can see the appeal, but, you know what? Let's just we've spent more than 30 seconds on this, Brandon, and the answer is honestly, maybe the answer is that because we don't know, it's not worth wasting a precious spot on your fantasy team at the moment, and that you just maybe should wait until, let's see. I mean, you know, again, we all have these unlimited free transfers in 6 weeks' time or whatever, you know, whatever it is, mid-November. We'll have a much better sense then of where he fits, right? And maybe he'll have some nascent goal threat, Brandon, that he suddenly, develops.
You never know. You never know. Exactly. This is more, that was less of a lightning round question, more of a hot button topic, Josh.
Exactly.
It was all a right, lightning
one last
rod.
Question.
Okay.
Last question. Why don't you take this one? You hit me.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I'm up. All right. This one comes from Emil Seedlick, who asks, Josh, what do you do with Kane? Is it worth keeping him for the next few weeks, or sell and change your structure to rebuy Salah? So I just spent a long time talking about how Kane was top of my wish list, and now Emil is talking about it being time to get rid of Kane to bring in Salah, who's done nothing.
It's weird. The Salah thing, it's like I guess we all know it's like Trent. We all know eventually he's going to come good, but we're all spending a lot of time and energy right now worrying about Mo Salah, right? Yeah. And it doesn't totally seem necessary given that both you and I are both in the camp that I'm just going to captain Haaland basically every week. And if the worry is Salah in game week 12, sure. I guess that makes sense. But even then, you could just captain Kane in game week 12. There's just like, I don't see, like, I'm certainly not going to wreck my team to figure out how to bring in Mo Salah. I mean, why? I don't know why I would. I mean, Liverpool are just not, you know, on the boil right now. Let's see where they are, you know, in a couple weeks. Maybe I'll change my mind.
Sometimes the key to these blank weeks, so in game week 8, I chose not to wild card and thought I could try to skate by with just 10 starting players. And I did. I was, you know, well above the average. I got a green arrow. And largely thanks to just like a lucky return from Saliba. So what you need in these weeks, you know, you can choose to focus heavily on do I need Salah for this blank game week 12? That's the only way I can survive that game week. So that you just kind of flip a coin. Is it going to be a week where Salah is the key, an easy to predict one? Or is it just going to be one of those weeks where randomly you get a great return from a random other guy and saves your game week? I was blessed in game week 8, Josh, where I didn't have to blow up my team and some random person saved me.
I know. That just means you're having a good season. I mean, right? Just
That's exactly right. That's the luck, fortune, good planning, et cetera.
Take it and run, because you remember every bad moment, right? It's like, it's like all the times when luck was not on your side, like at least for me, they always stick with me. It's like the moments when luck is on my side, I'm just like, well, that's not sustainable,
I guess what I'm then suggesting is Salah, looking at game week 12, Salah seems at this point maybe a much likelier outcome than some random 12-point return from a 4.5 defender. So that seems like the most sensible move. But I'm kind of like trying to agree with you here in a long-winded way of think about it before you just go and blow up your team thinking about one game week.
Yeah, it is a weird game week 12. We'll certainly be talking more about later, but it's a weird one where kind of looking out, it doesn't seem like anyone has a good fixture. You know, it's a really strange, like, I don't know. But anyway, all right, well, we'll shelve that for now. Not as relevant for game week 9. Brandon, that's the pod. Got through it in record time. Nice, short, clean pod this week. Thanks, everyone, for listening to this podcast. Thank you again to everyone who supports the podcast. If you want to get into that World Cup kit competition, I don't know why I got so weird about money, Brandon, there.
That's just you, Josh.
It's just my personality. That's true. any kit you want in the World Soccer Shop, we'll give to the top scorer in our Patreon league in the month of October. And so, again, if you've had a rough start of the season, that's fine because we're only counting October points. So it's a good chance for everyone to reset. If you're looking for a new competition or something fun to motivate you. But if you want to support the podcast, you can go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. Brandon, can you thank our producer patrons, please?
Would love to. Thanks to producers Mike DiPietro, Trevor Ingerson, our buddy Chris Howell, Da Big Gaffer, Babas Kuhn, James Holland, Dave Wagner, Lodahl, Nick Wright, Lazarus Yanos, Jesse Halstead, Bruce Kerr, Brian Chin, Rich Evans, Blair Jacobson, Todd Byerly, Mikey Uwang, Shiv Marjoria, Andy Portlock, Dan Parsons. And thanks for the emails, Andy. Appreciate that. Dan Parsons at FPL Merch, Kerry Swanson, Jefferson Turner, Francis Moore, Sam Schauer, Caleb Robbie, Lee Hickman, Vulgar Paulson Kruger, Alex Holcomb, James Keatley, The Saint, Bob Fox, Craig Jackson, James Conroy, Shalin F. Kadakia, Terrence O'Donnell, Paul Hertzig, Heath Cram, Roberto Morals, and Thomas Tislov. Rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Somebody left us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Josh. Whoever you are, it's like that Gegita song, right? All I want to do is to thank you, whoever you are. It really does help the pod if you have a minute, rate us 5 stars, leave a review saying how cool and nice we are, or just follow us on Twitter at Hail Cheaters, where we're most active on social. For all this information and more, go to our website, alwayscheating.com.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.